Living by the Word with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God." And now, here's today's message.
The word that came forth Wednesday night while Pastor Cece was exhorting us was that God said, "Don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you don't faint." And when she said that, and I had a message already planned and prepared that I was going to teach on, I was excited about the word God gave me, but the Holy Spirit quickened me when she said, "Don't be weary." When I heard that word weary, the Holy Ghost said, "That's it." And I stepped in when she finished and said, "Everybody that's been weary, been having a fight with weariness, you're tired, you feel like giving up, come down here." And I'm going to tell you, I don't know how many people came to the altar. I said, God said that he's going to give you strength. He will give strength to the weary. Amen. And I had just been studying that God strengthens you in your spirit. We've been praying those Ephesians prayers. I've been asking everybody to pray those three times a day for this month. In Ephesians chapter 3, it says that you might be strengthened with might, that's power, in your inner man by the Holy Ghost. So God can strengthen you in your heart, in your spirit. He'll give you strength that will give you power to say no to sin. Then I found a script in Psalm 138 that God will give strength to your soul. That's your mind, your will, your emotions, so that I can be strong mentally. I can have a strong will to serve God. I can be strong emotionally with the strength of God. Hallelujah. And then I found out that God strengthens our mortal body, that he'll even strengthen your body. He gives strength to your body. I mean, you need physical strength. Physical strength comes from the Lord. The Bible says that God gives breath to all men. The reason why you are breathing and that you are alive today is because you are living off of the breath of God. He's the strength of your life. That's what David said when he said, "The Lord is the strength of my life." And the Bible says, "The Lord is my strength and shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. Therefore, with my song will I praise him." God wants to be your strength, and then he wants to show himself strong on your behalf. Amen? Now, that scripture that Pastor Cece quoted comes out of Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 through 10. The first part of it says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season," everybody say in due season. Due season is the word, means at the opportune time. It is a kairos time, which means a time appointed by God. It is not a time you set. It is a time on his calendar that he calls a due season, when it's time for you to reap the harvest from what you've been sowing. Don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you don't faint. Moffat's translation says, "Never let us grow tired of doing what is right. For if we do not faint, we shall reap a harvest at the opportune time." Phillips' translation says, "Let us not grow tired of doing good, for unless we throw in our hand, the ultimate harvest is assured." He said, if you don't throw your hand in, the harvest is guaranteed. Tay's translation says, "And let us not get tired of doing what is right, for after a while we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't get discouraged and give up." Amen? So sometimes when you are doing all the right things and it seems like you're not being rewarded for all the good seeds you're putting in the ground, the Bible gives us a word of encouragement not to give up and not to grow weary in well-doing. Don't ever get tired of doing what's right. Don't ever get tired of reading your Bible. Don't ever get tired of praying. Don't ever get tired of giving. Don't ever get tired of going to church. Don't ever get tired of witnessing and sharing your faith. Don't ever get tired of fellowshipping with other believers. Don't be weary in doing what's right. Don't ever get tired of helping other people. Don't be weary in doing what's right. Don't get tired of being honest. When you see so many prospering because they're dishonest. You know, you can get weary looking at the wicked prosper. There's two prosperities. There's the prosperity of the righteous, and there's the prosperity of the wicked, and they look just alike on the surface, but they have two different destinations. They're going in opposite directions. And that's what people don't understand. Bible talks about the prosperity of the wicked. They can prosper in this world, but their end is not good. Amen. And there's the prosperity of the righteous, which on the surface look just alike, but have a great destination. So don't be weary in doing what's right, and don't be discouraged when you see people that's not serving God having a good time. You giving your tithes and offerings, and they buying boats and cars and new suits and dresses, fancy hats, new shoes. And the devil will come tipping up to you and say, yeah, you could have that if you wasn't giving all your money to the church down there. All right, I ain't going to get too many amens on there. I don't believe we had to worry about nobody giving all their money to the church. Ain't nobody giving all their money to the church. Don't you quit that lie right now. I'm giving all my money. No, you ain't. You ain't giving all your money to church. The word weary means to gasp. It means to be exhausted. It means to tire, to get tired, to be fatigued, to be worn with exertion, to be discontented or vexed by continued endurance. Sometimes you're having to put up with a situation for a long time. You have to be long-suffering. And some people get tired of suffering long. How many of you ever been tired of suffering long? You got weary, say, boy, I've been waiting on this situation to turn around. I don't like it going to turn around. Let me just, look, I've been believing God to move. It just don't seem like God doing nothing here. And I'm tired. I need a change. There ain't been no change. And I'm tired of waiting on a change. I done run out of patience. I mean, I done had it up to here. I'm out of patience. I'm going to tell you how to prevent weariness. The Holy Spirit's going to show us. Now, we've been teaching on prayer. And the Bible says men ought always pray and not faint. Jesus gave us the invitation to pray because when you pray, you're giving God an invitation to get involved with your life. God has to have an invitation from you to really work in your life the way he wants to. Every time you pray, you're invoking God to be a partner with you, to come and help you, to fellowship with you. Prayer is a two-way street. It's where you speak and he listens. And then he speaks and then you listen. When I pray, I'm inviting God to be involved in my life. You see, the proud seek not the Lord, neither is he in their thoughts. Prideful people will not pray because they feel like they don't need the Lord or they got it covered, they take care of themselves. They don't need no outside intervention. And there's a lot of people in the world think that when you pray, you just got a crutch. Well, I'm going to tell you what, you ain't taking my crutch from me. Go ahead and call it what you want to call it. You can call me crutch, cripple, anything you want to. But I know in whom I believe. And I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. And I committed me to him. And he's able to keep me against that terrible day of judgment. Hallelujah. The Bible says pray with all kinds of prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So there's many different kinds of prayers. And they're not all prayed by the same rules. Amen. So we're going to be teaching on prayer. You know, the disciples came to Jesus after they had saw him pray and they saw his prayer life And one of the disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. Like John also taught his disciples to pray. So prayer can be learned. You can learn how to pray. You can learn the principles of prayer. Amen. They can be taught. So I'm going to be teaching on prayer. Amen. But prayer is partnership with God. It is where you enter into fellowship with Him. It's where a divine exchange takes place. I was walking and praying one morning. Matthew 7:7 came to me. The scripture says this. Ask and you shall what? Receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened to you. So I was praying that and I said, Lord, what's that? He said this. Prayer is the place where you receive what you've been asking for. It's the place where you find what you've been looking for. And it's the place where things open up to you. Where doors open. So he said, every time you pray, expect to receive something, find something, or have some door open up to you. And so, boy, that got me excited about praying because now I'm not just going through the motions, but now I have expectation when I pray that God is going to meet me in prayer and He's going to fellowship with me and there's going to be an exchange. I'm going to exchange my weakness for His strength. I'm going to exchange my lack for His abundance. I'm going to exchange my sickness and my disease for His divine health and strength. You see, I'm going to exchange my foolishness for His wisdom. I'm going to exchange my sadness for His joy. I'm going to exchange my grief for His peace. Prayer is a place of a divine exchange. When you spend time with God, God doesn't take that as a light thing because you have then answered the call to prayer. And then the Holy Ghost will help you in prayer. We got two intercessors, the Holy Ghost and Jesus. We can't lose. If we keep our eyes stayed on the Master. Holy Ghost being to move through you with divine utterance. Start praying in the Spirit. And you're praying out mysteries in intercession. Intercession literally means to build a wall around. When you intercede for the lost, you're building a wall of protection around them until them fools can get saved. I don't mean that in a derogatory way, because I was once a fool myself. How many fools we had here before you? Now I'm a fool for Christ. I was a fool for the devil, now I'm a fool for Christ. Intercession builds a wall of protection around your family, around your job, around your income, around your health, around every area of your life. When you intercede and when you pray for other people, you're inviting God to get involved in their lives.
You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for